ABC Radio Australia.
This weekend will mark the major anniversary of one of the Pacific's most famous World War II battles. High-level delegates from the US, Australia and Japan will travel to the Solomon Islands to commemorate 80 years since the Battle of Guadalcanal. It's hoped the event will kickstart tourism in the country, which has just reopened from the pandemic. But experts say new infrastructure is badly needed, with many famous battlefield sites still unmarked. Carl Evans has the report.
Many decades on from the Battle of Guadalcanal, the cries of anguish on the island haven't stopped. Francis Deve hears them often. He lives on the island, and for 36 years he's helped excavate remains from the battlefields so they can be repatriated to Japan for burial. He also acts as a guide for Japanese visitors who make the pilgrimage to the Solomons to find their ancestors.
It is a deep heart of condolences. Even during our ceremonies, they shout their grandfathers. They call for them. We are here. We bring you food. We bring you water. We bring ourselves. And they write letters. They give homage. They laid wreaths. And they express them that since you left us, we wait for you and you didn't come back. So now I come on behalf of my grandmother, I am your son, and they introduce themselves like that. If you translate those messages where they were telling during the ceremony, it is very, very tearful, and it's very, very sad in a sense that, you're missing somebody you love, you know?
This week marks the 80th anniversary of the battle, which began on August 7th, 1942. Up until then, the Japanese army had marched relentlessly through the Pacific en route to Australia. But World War II historian and battlefield tour guide Matt McLaughlin says the canal is where everything changed.
It was a pretty crucial battle in the Pacific War. It was the first one that the Americans fought in, and it turned out to be their longest. So it was really the turning point in the Pacific, because up until this point, the Japanese had been advancing pretty much unchecked through Asia and the Pacific. But when they got to Guadalcanal, they met the Americans and were defeated in that battle eventually. And so that was the furthest the Japanese managed to advance in the Pacific. And every step they took from that point onwards was backwards towards Tokyo, where obviously the war ended in 1945. So a very significant battle.
A small airfield being built by the Japanese was the major prize of the battle. It had huge strategic importance and would have allowed the Japanese to cut off Australia from its allies while denying the United States military an important base in the Pacific.
It was a really fascinating Pacific battle because the Americans landed in August 1942 and managed to capture the airfield that the Japanese were constructing and flew aircraft in to operate from that airfield. So the aircraft could only operate during daylight hours. So during the day, America completely dominated the skies. But at night, the Japanese Navy would come in and could operate pretty well unhindered because they didn't have to worry about aircraft. So control of the island really seesawed between the Americans and the Japanese every 12 hours, depending on whether it was daylight or dark. So the Americans were on the island after their initial landing, and for the rest of the campaign, the Japanese continuously sent down reinforcements to try and build up forces to retake the airfield. And that led to several huge battles on the island. But ultimately, the Japanese were never successful in retaking the airfield.
The battle raged on for 6 months, and more than 20,000 servicemen lost their lives. By the time it was over, the tide of war in the Pacific had turned.
In the words of the Japanese, this was the decisive battle that would determine the rest of the war. And that was a pretty fair estimation. I think the Japanese were obviously never going to win against the Americans. But it was important that we kept defeating them on land, that we restricted the Japanese from expanding, that we gave them bloody nose wherever we could. And Guadalcanal was the first time that occurred. And I think significantly for Australians, we tend to think of New Guinea as the battle that saved Australia. And while New Guinea was extremely important, the decisive battle that meant that the Japanese were forced to pull back and could no longer advance on New Guinea and on Australian ports was Guadalcanal. So the two battles were fought hand in hand. And as Australians, we often overlook Guadalcanal. But I think looking at the history, you'd probably say that Guadalcanal was the more significant of the two.
To this day, relics from the Guadalcanal conflict still litter the ground. 300 sunken planes and ships lie in waters off Honiara, aptly known now as Iron Bottom Sound. For those who know the terrain, evidence of the fighting on land is not hard to find. But Francis Deve says more needs to be done to guide battlefield tourists in the right direction.
This is the biggest project that I'm talking about now. And I wish if Australia, New Zealand or US and or Japan can be willing to step in, and even British, because I need Coast Watch's monuments to be built. I need a Japanese site to be built. I need Australian sites to be built. I need New Zealand sites to be built, monuments, in the parts where the Solomon Islands war covers, you know. We have Australia, New Zealand having a lot of engagement here on Guadalcanal. I've been covering all these sites with my research team. And then we do a lot of information that we collect from them. And it's quite hard to identify sites at the moment. So I'm talking to the Ministry of Tourism, Culture and Tourism. We might be knocking at your doors to make sure that these monuments are built. And it will be an attraction because we realize that people are coming here. They still said, where's the battlefields? And these sites were identified, but there's no monument.
This weekend, the island will welcome more than 200 tourists to mark the battle's anniversary, including a delegation led by United States Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman and the new US Ambassador to Australia, Caroline Kennedy. Head of Sales and Marketing at Tourism Solomons, Fiona Tierma, says the event will give fresh impetus to the industry as it seeks to recover from the impact of the pandemic.
We see that tourism holds the future for this country as opposed to the extractive industries. However, there are still some challenges that we really need to work together on from the government level in terms of our infrastructure. As you know, the tourism industry in Solomon Islands are of a very small scale, eco-family-friendly oriented base. We don't have five-star hotels or resorts. We want to keep it at that level, but there still needs to be improvement in terms of infrastructure and more development with our air access and all that sort of things that will support the industry.
Part of the event will be the official announcement of a US ambassador to the Solomon Islands to head up a new American embassy. It's hoped the embassy's presence in Honiara will assist in establishing a dialogue to deliver better tourism infrastructure.
North America and Japan are long-haul markets. So basically most of the visitors that are travelling in from those markets are mainly diving in World War II. So having that U.S. embassy established in the capital will strengthen that link, and we hope to see more visitors